Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Courageous Parenting. But first, here's the message, The Principles of Christian Living.
Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans 14? Sometimes good people differ on those debatable, disputable issues. Those things that aren't directly commanded in Scripture, but rather are inferred in Scripture or when the Scripture is completely silent. But reading at verse 1, it says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." There are three tests that I believe should be applied to every decision in life, and certainly decisions related to doubtful things, debatable things. Those three tests are, first, the test of freedom. Secondly, the test of fellowship. And thirdly, the test of faith. And it's all found right here in Romans chapter 14. First of all, there is the test of freedom. Now, we've learned in the book of Romans that in Jesus Christ, we've been set free. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. Christ died on the cross for our sins, all of them. He paid the price. He took our place. He rose again on the third day. And when we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the full forgiveness of sin. We receive freedom in Jesus Christ. We're set free from the law, the Old Testament law, and the curse of the law, and we are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In that freedom, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, we no longer live on the list. We no longer live on the law. I'm not talking about the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, but I'm talking about questionable issues, doubtful things, non-essentials, if you will. Those issues that we find the Scripture is silent. We're to test it first of all by the test of freedom. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who still live on the list. They're legalists. And a legalist is someone who gives man-made rules and man-made lists for others to live. They're not lists that come from God. They're not rules that come from God, but rules that come from man. Now, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and beware the leaven of the Pharisees." Now, the Sadducees were the theological liberals of the day of Christ. They didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were the liberals. But then he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And the Pharisees were those cruel, hard taskmasters of the law who added to the law all kinds of man-made traditions and man-made taboos, and they kept the people oppressed by their strong, stringent, strident religion. And Jesus said, "Beware that kind of leaven." We must find that fine balance. And yet many Christians live in legalism today. And many Christians are always imposing on other Christians their own list and their own ideas as though it was the Word of God. It happens in the pulpit, it happens in the pew as well. You know, it can happen in the church regarding worship. There's some people who say the only way that we should worship, again, these aren't the hypercritical, negative kinds of people. These are sincere people who say, "I believe you ought to worship with great anthems and great hymns and the four-part harmony of the choir and the great majestic organ, and everybody ought to be more reverent in church and quieter in church, and only those great hymns, that's what we ought to have in church." And then there are other equally sincere people who say, well, that's, you know, that kind of music's really boring to me. My faith is alive, and I love singing those songs and hymns and spiritual songs and those choruses, and I love those drums. You know, I remember when our church, we had the first drum set brought into our church about 1965. We had to put cardiac arrest equipment in our foyer. And the interesting thing is, I was the drummer. You know, I was the guy playing the drum, 15 years old. But, and people thought, that's terrible. How can you bring a drum set in the house of God? Sincere, honest in that, not trying to be a troublemaker, but just differing. There are essentials of the Christian life and the Christian faith, things that are non-negotiable. Things that we believe, things that are true, things that are right, things that are wrong. In those things, we are brought together in one common faith. In those things, let there be the Lordship of Christ ruling. In those things, we are unified under our Lord. But in those non-essentials, the unclear, the gray matter, the nebulous, let there be liberty. You see, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't all have to be identical twins in order to be brothers and sisters in Him. We can see things differently in style, even in substance. On those non-essentials, we can deal with those issues separately and individually as priests before God, our own priests before God, and determine before God what we're to do and what we're to believe. As I close this message, let me give you three things the Scripture says as to how we are to give freedom to others in this test of freedom. Number one, don't judge others who may not share your convictions on non-essentials. Don't judge them. That's what Paul says in verse 3. Look at it. He says, don't judge him who eats or him who does not eat, for God has received him. That is, we're not to be so hyper spiritual that we look down our long spiritual noses at others who may not share the same prejudices or the same even convictions that we share about non-essentials. Sometimes we're so hard on each other about this kind of stuff, when you add it up, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And we're very good at finding fault in what others do and what others believe, and in ourselves going easy. Seeing others' faults clearly and our own faults not so clearly. Faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Liberty says, charity says, in these non-essentials, let's be hard on ourselves and easy on others. Secondly, recognize when your brother does something that doesn't please you or differs from what you believe in the non-essentials. Again, hear me. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about truth. We're talking about non-essentials. Recognize that Jesus is their Lord and you're not their Lord. That's what he means in verse 4 when he says, who are you to judge another servant? These are the servants of Jesus. And while we are accountable to the body, to the Church of Jesus Christ, we're responsible to one another. We're not answerable to any Christian. We're only answerable to God. Paul was accused of things in his own life, in his own ministry, and he wasn't being prideful when he says, look, these things don't move me. What you think about me, what you say about me, that doesn't matter. I'm answerable to God and God alone. And Christians, let me just say that it is a serious thing and a wrong thing to judge the heart or the motive of another man or another woman. Now, we can look at the fruit or the action. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And certainly, we're not negating church discipline and so forth, church government. But it is so wrong to look at a person and start trying to judge their heart and judge their motives. I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart. And therefore, we need to quit playing God in somebody else's lives. Let God be God. Let Jesus be Lord in their lives. Thirdly, never force your personal convictions on others. It says down at the last part of verse 5, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Just surrender that person to the Lordship of Christ and let them deal with God about those disputable areas and those questionable areas. Now, let's talk about the big one. Now, there are some sincere Christians who look at the issue of drinking. Now, the Bible's clear on drunkenness. No drunkenness. That's sin against God. But there are some sincere Christians who look at the issue of drinking socially and they say nothing wrong with that. There are people that come from different cultural backgrounds and denominational backgrounds. For them, this isn't an issue. Now, there are others of us, and I include myself in this group, that believe it's wrong to drink in any form or any fashion. Now, I have some strong reasons why I don't drink. I'm a teetotaler. And I can make a strong case for total abstinence from the Bible, by the way, though it is debatable. I'm not a total abstainer simply because I'm a pastor or a minister. Hey, I made that decision as a teenager before I became a minister because I wanted to be the best witness that I could be to my friends and to my family. I can convince, I can cajole, I can try to persuade, but what the Scripture is saying here, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, and I can't force my personal, private, deep convictions on you if you don't hold them yourself. I can't even do that for my own children. But I'm saying the Bible teaches that in those gray areas, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. You come to Jesus Christ. You give your life fully to Jesus Christ and to the Lordship of Christ in your life, and then make decisions. Not based on what some man-made law or rule or church or denomination tells you, but based upon the Word of God and the living Spirit of God who will be in you.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Principles of Christian Living. God commissioned parents as the first line of defense for a child's heart. And in a culture characterized by defiance and disobedience, it's all the more important to raise children who will love, serve, and honor the Lord. That's why we want to send you the new edition of Dr. Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This parenting classic dives deep into what it takes to be the kind of mom or dad that models God's heart for your kids. Courageous Parenting is our thanks for your gift today. So call now to request your copy of Courageous Parenting when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Principles of Christian Living.
But there are two more tests that we need to take when we consider any action. The second test is the test of fellowship. And I want you to read with me beginning at verse 13 of chapter 14 of Romans. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Jesus died. Therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of. Look down at verse 21. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. The liberty of Jesus Christ, the liberty that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, is never an excuse for behavior that does not consider the body of Christ, the church, and the brothers and sisters, our fellow believers in Jesus Christ.
And so we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of the servant, which doesn't say I'm going to use the grace as license, the grace of God as license to do anything that I want to do. I'm not going to cheapen the grace of God by saying, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I can live any way that I want to live, but rather to express the grace of God and enjoy the grace of God by not simply taking up rights, but to take up responsibilities. In a marriage, you're willing to lay down some rights in order to make that marriage a place where love exists. In a nation, people must be willing to lay down their rights in order to live together cooperatively. In a church, believers must be willing to lay down their rights in order for the church of Jesus Christ to be at peace. And any right that I have that hinders my brother or hurts my sister in Jesus Christ, I must be willing to voluntarily lay down my life, lay down my own privileges, even my own liberty if I need to do it, in order that my brother or my sister might grow in Christ. Sometimes people say, well, I'm right, I know my Bible, I've got my rights, and they're smart in the head, but selfish in the heart, because they don't consider that somebody else who may not understand their own liberty in Christ are set up for failure and frustration and defeat because of their attitude. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That is the fellowship test. You know what's needed in the church today? Accountability. And there needs to be the discipline of the body of Christ, which recognizes that grace is never an opportunity to exercise my own rights, but grace, the grace in which we stand, is the privilege by which we can minister and express the love of God to others. It's not just what I learn in my head, but it's the love of my heart that ought to express itself to you. There's another test, and that's the test of faith. Look down at verse 23 in chapter 14. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Again, talking about eating meat given to idols. But he who does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is what? Sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, that's a very disturbing definition of sin, isn't it? Whatever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if I can't do what I do, believing in my heart that this is an expression of my faith and trust in God, then I shouldn't do it. Now, I want to give you, in the conclusion of this message today, about, well, let's see, there are seven questions that I believe we can ask ourselves when it comes to the test of faith, whether or not we are acting responsibly in the decisions that we make. Question number one, am I fully convinced that what I'm about to do is right? Am I fully convinced? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Verse 5 of chapter 14 of Romans says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Are we convinced that this is the right thing? This deals with the conscience, of course. If your conscience has been enlightened by the Scriptures, if your conscience is moved and sensitized by the Spirit of God, then you can rely upon your conscience. And if your conscience is stinging you, if your conscience is begging you, if your conscience is dealing with you that this isn't the right thing, if in doubt, don't. Question number two, does this glorify God? Look back in chapter 14, verses 6 through 8. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we are the Lord's. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. All of life belongs to God. If we live or die, if we eat or drink, everything that we do is to be under the authority and the lordship and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. If we live or die, we are the Lord's. Our purpose in life, our passion in life, should be to glorify Jesus Christ. And if what I'm about to do does not glorify Him, I shouldn't be doing it. Third question, is what I'm about to do, will it stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Look again in your Bibles of Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. The last part of verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's coming, according to the Scripture, for the Christian, a judgment seat. The judgment seat, don't confuse that with the great white throne judgment in which unbelievers will be judged. The judgment seat of Christ is that place of life review, of life evaluation, in which every believer will be examined as to our faithfulness, of our motivations. The judgment seat of Christ, where the rewards will be given for faithful commitment and love and service to Jesus Christ. And that judgment seat is coming. But every action, everything that we do is evaluated constantly. And certainly at the judgment seat of Christ. And many, I believe, are forfeiting their rewards and forfeiting the words of well done, good and faithful servant, simply because they make decision after decision that will not stand the purifying judgment seat of Christ. Fourth question, is what I'm about to do, is it consistent with Scripture? Look over in chapter 15 of Romans and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God has given us the Scriptures for our learning, for our instruction. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't look as the word of God as simply being a rule book, but it is a guidebook for life. And when we have decisions to make, the Scripture speaks, if not explicitly, the Scripture speaks implicitly, giving us principles by which we are to judge our behavior. And if you stay in the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, if you saturate your heart and mind, your conscience with the Word of God, you will have an inborn sense of oughtness about every decision that you make. Next, will it build up the kingdom? Look in verses 17, 18, and 19 of Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. But he goes on to say in verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. And then he goes on to say, whether it is good to eat meat or drink or wine, it's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles, that is, you make him fall down. You offend him, not just offends his culture or offends his taste or offends his opinion, but offends him in the sense that you have defeated him by making him weak in the faith. So what's the question? The question is, what I'm about to do, will this build up the kingdom? Will it strengthen my church? Will it build up the body? And will it bless my brothers and fellow believers in Christ? And finally, ask yourself, can I do this in faith? Verse 23, whatever is not of faith is sin. And the idea of faith there is with confidence. Can I do this with the confidence that it is the right thing? With the faith that this is right before God and right for me and right for my fellow Christians and right for those who don't even know the Lord Jesus. So when you have a decision to make, there's the test of freedom, but there's also balancing that freedom, the test of the fellowship and the test of faith. And if we'll take those tests every time, the Lord and His kingdom will be victorious in your life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Principles of Christian Living. There's a spiritual battle raging for the very souls of our children. And God has commissioned parents as the first and best line of defense to protect kids against the attacks of our culture and the enemy. We want to equip you to fight the good fight of faith for your family by sending Pastor Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This new edition offers practical advice and spiritual encouragement to help you guard, guide, and strengthen your child's faith so they can grow into bold followers of Jesus. And it's our special thanks for your gift today. Your support helps boldly proclaim God's word around the world through PowerPoint. So thank you for your gift today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
As Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. When it comes to these gray areas, you must decide for yourself, led by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. But you can't force people to believe on all the non-essentials the same way you do. Practice liberty to those who disagree with you on those things that aren't absolutely essential. Realize that each person has freedom in Christ to make up their own mind about decisions on gray matters. And just because you may believe one way doesn't mean that those who believe something else are any less Christian. But whatever conviction you have, whatever you believe in your own heart, live out that conviction. Live for the glory of God and live as a witness for Jesus Christ so that others may know Him. Set the highest standards possible in your life. Remember, we have wonderful liberty, freedom in Christ. And as long as we share the same foundational tenets of the faith and the important issues of life are resolved with the Word of God, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ, even when on non-essentials we may disagree.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Courageous Parenting, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how God can help you overcome evil with good. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.